I'd like to share with you tonight something that leaped off the pages at me this past week in my devotions, and wanted to take advantage of the opportunity and trust that it will be an encouragement to each one tonight. Malachi chapter 3. The last three verses of the chapter, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, tonight again, we thank you for your people. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be here at Fairfax Baptist Temple with so many children, teens, men and women who are desirous of walking with you with one accord, truly seeking to see God work in our midst. What a privilege it is, Father, to be able to sing praises to your name and to worship you through music. And God, now as we seek to worship you through the message from your word, I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts. God, we do with the bottom of our heart love you for all that you have done for us. Father, it's a privilege for us to be here tonight. And I pray most sincerely, Lord, that our hearts will be challenged and encouraged for having spent this time in the house of God tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting here as we see this passage, and of course the verses that are so often read, as were read even this morning and appropriately so, tell us about the matter of tithing and giving back to the Lord. And a lot of times we look at that and with rightful purpose, we are admonished and challenged to make certain that we are giving to God in a fashion and in a way that is pleasing unto Him. But it's interesting here that really there is a debate that has been going on between the people of God and God Himself throughout this chapter, whereby they are kind of going almost tit for tat and saying, "Lord, we're not so sure about all this." And then God is saying, "No, this is what you need to do." And then God is coming back and He's reminding them and challenging them of areas of spiritual growth in their own lives if they are to be all that God wants them to be. In fact, if you'll look in verse 13, they even said, "Hey, we haven't said anything against you." And yet, God says, "Your words have been harsh. Your words have been stout against me. I'm aware of everything that is going on here." But, He says, there is a special privilege, there is a special people that He is paying close attention to. And this is where I trust every single one of us tonight will seek to find ourselves, and that is as one of God's precious jewels. One of God's precious jewels. You know, it's interesting if you've ever had the opportunity of going down to the Museum of Natural History and seeing there the Hope Diamond and hearing all of the history behind it and all of the bad things that happened to people as they had it with them in their possession over the years. And of course, now we see it there in that case, and people come from all different parts of the world and they walk around it and look at it from all the different sides as it slowly turns there. But you know, have you ever thought about the fact that you and I, according to the Word of God, if we are really a part of God's family, He desires for you and for me to have a far greater brilliance, to have a far greater impact, to have a far greater attraction in this world than any diamond that could ever be mined in the largest mines of the world. And I ask you tonight, are you seeking to be one of God's precious jewels? Now, we talk about God's jewels here, and we see, first of all, that in order to be one of God's jewels, you have to come under God's choosing. God's choosing. It says here in verse 17, "And they shall be mine." Well, who is he referring to? Who are the ones that are being explained or defined as those that are going to be his? We see there in the preceding verse that it is those who feared the Lord. those who feared the Lord. And if you look down in chapter 4 and in verse 2, he again says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Now, when we talk about fearing God, of course, we're not talking about coming and physically trembling. We're not talking about being able to come and to cower in his presence. But it ought to be that each one of us has a holy reverence and respect for God, a respect for God's word, a respect for God's message, a respect for God's person, and the way in which he desires to interact with our lives on a daily basis. You know, sometimes when we talk about the fear of the Lord, I think we can almost equate it in an erroneous fashion with other people. You know, you think about, wow, I'm not so sure this is the best thing to do, but as long as nobody sees me, everything is all right. Or perhaps you've been out somewhere and you're doing something that you're not so certain is really pleasing and glorifying to God, and you run into somebody from the church and you're trying to just hope and pray they don't look in your grocery cart and see what's in there. Or they didn't see which store you just walked out of when you were there in the mall. Or they're not paying too close attention to how you're dressed there, because maybe it's not quite pleasing and glorifying to God. That's not walking in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, God sees me everywhere. God sees me if nobody from the church sees me. God sees me if none of my friends recognize me. God is watching me every single day of my life, and furthermore, God is keeping a record of how I'm seeking to live for Him. Now, praise God, this is not in any way to be confused with our sins in terms of being judged repeatedly for our sins. Praise God, when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our penalty for sin was paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will not come face to face with our sins someday in the future. But when we think about being chosen by God, He does very clearly lay out for us here the fact that, yes, He has a book of remembrance. He is paying attention. Turn with me, if you would, to Esther chapter 6. Keep your finger here in Malachi 3. But in Esther chapter 6, where we have that familiar story there, of Esther's uncle, and we think of all that was going on and how he was seeking to help the king and how he was trying to protect the king, and was there at the gate and heard of those that were trying to wish evil upon him. And then the Bible says in Esther chapter 6 and in verse 1, "On that night could not the king sleep," that's King Ahasuerus, "and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, 'What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?' Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, 'There is nothing done for him.'" We won't read the rest of the chapter, but just to refresh our memory, we know that then it goes on and he sees that someone has now come into the court while this book of remembrance has been read to him. And he's been told there again of what Mordecai had done for him. But yet Haman is out in the court. And so Haman walks in, and of course Haman is the typical carnal person who does not have anybody else to serve other than number one, who has no one else's best interest at heart other than those of himself. And so the king says, Haman, would you mind sharing with me, what do you think would be the best thing that we could do for someone that the king wants to honor? How is the way that we could carry that out to fruition? And of course, Haman immediately thinks, oh man, he's really talking about me. What a wonderful privilege. Now I'm going to see the king is going to put me on the pedestal that I so rightly deserve. And so he goes on and on and on and gushes about everything that ought to happen. And we ought to get one of the king's most trusted men to come alongside him and have him parade throughout the streets right down Central Avenue and tell him there, hey, this is how the king is going to treat those that he wants to honor. And then, of course, King Ahasuerus there, and I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that courtroom. I mean, it would have just been fabulous there to be in the king's court. And he says, all right, Haman, he says, I love your idea. Now go and do that to Mordecai. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like? And of course, his pride and everything that had welled up within him. And now all of a sudden it's trampled on. And he's going out to his number one arch rival, his number one enemy, and has to do to him, to Mordecai, what he thought was going to be done to him, Haman. But here we see the principle of a book being kept, a book of remembrance, whereby good deeds would be well spoken of. And of course, we know in the New Testament, we think about standing before God at the judgment seat of Christ, where not our sins will be remembered, but where our works will be remembered. And what a joy it is to know that God does take note of the faithful service of every one of His children. No, God is aware of what you did this last week. He knows about the people that you ministered to. He knows about those that you may have made a phone call to or sent a kind note to, or those who you sought to help out, or perhaps somebody that you went and took a meal to, or someone else that the Lord has laid on your heart and you have been praying for them, and you are laboring with them in prayer, seeking to see God meet a specific need there. You see, that does not go unnoticed in the eyes of God. And what a thrill it is. Because sometimes we as human beings may say, does anybody notice? Does anybody care? Is it possible that anyone is even remotely taking note of what I'm seeking to do? And the thrill of it is, as we minister with the right heart, as we seek to have genuine, pure motives, God says, those of you down there that fear the Lord, those of you at Fairfax Baptist Chapel who are seeking to keep me first in your life, I have chosen you to be my precious jewels. But you know, when you think about a jewel, we realize that a jewel also is not just something of God's choosing, but we have to be mindful of God's chiseling. You know, you think about the fact that God knows us. God can see in us what we can become, again, not in and of ourselves, but as the Holy Spirit fills us. Any value that we have is because of God at work in our lives. But God can see in each one of us what we can accomplish as we yield to Him and as we allow Him, as the master gemologist, to chisel off the rough edges and to cause us to truly shine with that great brilliance. I was reading from DiamondSource.com, and they said that since the quality of the cut is directly responsible for the stone's beauty, talking about a diamond, the precision with which the facets are arranged is of prime importance. They determine the amount of light reflected to the eye, called brilliance. Of course, we think of the four C's of a diamond, which every girl knows better than every guy, is clarity, color, cut, and carat. And thinking about that diamond, and I have an interesting confession to make to you tonight. Back when Becky and I got engaged, I had gone to the jewelry store. I had saved up my money. I decided, all right, I'm going to buy a diamond, and went in, was all excited. I took the money, purchased the ring, and then I proposed to her. And I'll spare you all the gushy details because I don't want to bore you tonight. But went out on March 13th, 1990, down where Mom and Dad got engaged, the Jefferson Memorial, and asked her to marry me. And she said yes, and I put that ring on her hand. Well, then I have to confess, the next day or two, as she was walking around with that diamond on her hand, I started looking at it and I thought, man, that just doesn't have the sparkle and the shine and the brilliance that I was really hoping it would have. I mean, of course, if you ever pay attention to the psychology, to those of us who are sucker buyers, when you go into the average jewelry store, I mean, they have spotlights that could almost shine to Manhattan from D.C., trying to help you to see, you know, this stone here is really better than it really is, and it's got all the angles and the perfect distance, and trying to make it look like something better than what it is. Well, Becky went back to Texas, and she began to show off her diamond to everyone. And I called her up and I said, Becky, I said, I have good news and bad news. I said, the bad news is I want you to mail me the diamond back. But the good news is I'm going to replace it because I just don't like the way it looks and I want to get one that's got a little bit of a better shine to it. And so as she gulped and her heart fell and then she picked it back up off the floor, she said, okay. And I said, I tell you what, if you will FedEx it to me, I will go the day I receive it, replace it, put it back in the mail and FedEx it back to you and we can make this a 2-day transaction. So sure enough, she mailed me the diamond back. I went back to the store. I said, I don't like this ring. I want something that has better brilliance to it. And something that's going to look nice in natural light, not just in this fluorescent light that's here in the jewelry store. And so that was how Becky ended up with the diamond that's on her hand today. Of course, now 20 years, almost 20 years later, she's telling me it too is beginning to fade. I'm trying to tell her, no, it's fine. But you know, you think about our lives. God says, you, if you fear the Lord, He has chosen you. He's written you down, of course, in the book of life. But beyond that, He has made note of your good deeds, of your works that you are doing for His honor and for His glory. Nothing to do with our salvation, but simply seeking to please Him. But in order for us to really shine, maybe that there's some extra chiseling that God needs to do. You know, in order for us to have that brilliance where we can truly reflect to this world what the light of Jesus Christ is all about, there may be some areas of our life that got potential, but that need to have a little bit of chiseling done on them. I'm mindful of what the psalmist tells us when he says, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Of course, that's the verse that was the inspiration for Becky's song that she wrote so many years ago. God does know the secrets of our heart. God does know the areas that still lack some refining. God knows the areas that still need a little bit of chiseling if we're really going to sparkle and to shine and to radiate the love of God at work in our hearts. Of course, the psalmist also tells us in similar fashion in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. So I ask you today, is God chiseling your life? Are you allowing Him to chisel your life? Do you really desire to have the utmost brilliance for God and looking forward to being a part of His precious jewels? When they think not only of God's choosing and of God's chiseling, but also of God's chastening. You see here, he says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And of course, that day of judgment that we all think about. The time when we will stand before God. And we will have brought before us everything that we have done in service to our God. And the Bible tells us that that which has been done for God's honor and for God's glory will shine, will come out as gold and silver and precious stones. But what we've done for ourselves, so that others would speak highly of us, so that others would really think, wow, she's really made it. Wow, he's really something. The Bible says all of that's going to burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. Solomon tries to exhort us regarding this matter when he says in Ecclesiastes 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, what is it that God would like to see manifest in your life? What are the areas of your life that God is going to judge someday? And how would He judge if He were to return today and you were to find yourself giving an account before Him? How would He judge what you've done for Him this last week, this last month, this last year? No, as we have been asking for God to help us to work with one accord, would He say, yes, You have been there. You have been faithful. You have been seeking to be involved, to take the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you and to put them truly to His best use. Or would He say, well, you know, you kind of step back a little bit and you kind of let others get involved and you let others sing in the choir and play in the orchestra and serve as ushers and help out in the nursery and you let others work in the Bible study fellowship and others work in the greeters and others work in the soundboard and others help out with the baptistry and you were very quick to say, well, if somebody else wants to do it, then I won't get involved. That's where each one of us has to say, no, God, I want to take every second that you have given to me on this earth and to truly use it for your honor and for your glory. Because God, I do know that day is coming. And praise God, because I've been chosen by Him, because I have been chiseled by Him, as the Holy Spirit has sought to make my life more conformed to His image, then yes, I do know when it comes to the matter of the ultimate judgment, praise God, I will be spared. I will be spared. What a joy it is to know when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ again, we don't ever have to wonder about whether or not that place of heaven will be our home. It will be based on the promises of an unfailing God. This morning, what a joy it was to hear Brother Tall mention that after the service, he had noticed during the invitation that someone had responded by raising their hand and yet had not come forward. And he went up to that man after the service this morning and was able to lead him to the Lord. And what a thrill it is to know that by his putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will never be judged for his sins again. He will be spared the ultimate judgment. Amen. He's now in the process of becoming one of God's precious jewels. What is it that God wants to teach you? What is it that God is desirous of your learning? What are the areas where you do still have some work that is left to be done? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. As we think of God's choosing, God's chiseling, God's chastening, in Psalm 56, we are made aware yet again of God's ultimate record keeping of each one of us. And he says here in Psalm 56 and in verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And you see here, when we think about our life on earth, how short it is, sometimes you and I are going to have adversaries. Some of you are saying, yeah, sometime, try all the time. Well, of course, we know the devil is our adversary and he is against us all the time. But hopefully you've got some people out there that are on your side. But the psalmist is saying, you know, I am mindful of the fact that God is aware of my tears. God knows my hurt. God knows my struggles. But at the same time, I am able to trust in Him because I know above all else, my God is for me. So when we think about the future and the ominous judgment that the world will encounter, what a privilege it is to know that for those of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ, that we don't have to worry and fret over that ultimate day of judgment, that time of reckoning there. And we can rest assured on the blessings of the Lord in terms of knowing with certainty, yes, I can look forward to spending eternity with my Savior. But he tells us here, we think again of God's choosing, His chiseling, His chastening, and of God's changing. God's changing. If you go back to Malachi 3, it says, They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. How is it that any of us can do anything of service to our God? The way that happens, as the Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, is because we have gone through a spiritual metamorphosis. We have changed. And God is the one who's done the changing. The Holy Spirit is the one who has made us as a new creature. And so now, praise God, because we have the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and lives, we can now realize the difference between the things that are pleasing unto God and the things that are not. We can, through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, know what is righteous versus what is wicked. We don't have to wonder or to question as to whether or not something is going to please or honor or glorify God. Because as His child, the Holy Spirit will commune with my spirit and will manifest His will to my life as I seek to walk with Him. So then what it behooves each one of us is to make certain every day of our lives, God, I want to draw closer to You. Lord, I want my life to have a greater brilliance. God, as one of Your jewels, as a treasure in Your hands, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to make me exactly what He wants me to be so that I can truly have the greatest impact on God through my service to Him. But what happens a lot of times is we are in church. We are made mindful of the promises and the principles by which we are to live as found in this book. And yet tomorrow we go out and we face an ungodly world. We face a different set of moral values. We face those that are serving whatever is convenient and seeking to do whatever the easy route is. And we find those that really have no perspective whatsoever regarding what is pleasing God or what is not pleasing unto Him, because the only one that they want to serve is their own selves. So when we think about being what God wants us to be, if I am going to really be that jewel that is shining, I have to be involved in serving Him. I have to look for ways in which I can use my gifts for His honor and glory. You know, sometimes when we think about service, what really some of us need to do is to just take the initiative and go and seek how we can get involved. Too often times I think we can have the mindset that, well, I'll just sit back and I'll wait till someone comes and asks me regarding service. And if they need some help, then I'll come. We heard of a need this last week in our Sunday school class and our Foundation Bible Study Fellowship last Sunday. And what a joy it was to hear today that we've now got some additional workers to help out with our junior church program. But you know, with our church our size, what would truly please and honor and glorify the Lord is if all of us were to examine our lives and say, how can I serve God more? Not how can I serve God less. What more can I do for Him rather than what are some things that I can draw back on? And then we'll better shine as a precious jewel in God's eyes. Now, when we think about all of eternity, spending that in the presence of our Savior, you know, when you think about you've been around someone or perhaps you've seen a large jewel that really does have the right cut and the right clarity, and you think about how you can be on the opposite side of a room, and if that stone, whether it's in a necklace or a ring or a bracelet, hits the light just right, that light can shoot for many feet and come right into your eyes and draw your attention to something that you were not even looking at, something that you were not even focused on. And do you realize that that's what ought to be our desire as God's jewels? That I am so concerned about serving God, that I am so desirous of being used by Him, that even other people would see God at work in my life and in turn be drawn not to me, but be drawn to my master. Say, hey, what's that different about you? Why is it that you're so concerned about being in church? And why is it that you're so concerned about taking your gifts and using them for the Lord? And it ought to be that any time someone comes to Fairfax Baptist Temple, that one thing is certain, that they realize, wow, if you go to Fairfax Baptist Temple, you better get ready to roll up your sleeves and serve God, because that is a serving church. You know, it's fun to look around us and to see so many people that are involved in the work of God. And yet at the same time, I would say there's still work to be done. There's still more that can be accomplished. Our Savior has not yet come. That day of reckoning is not yet here. There's still more opportunities for every single one of us to accomplish that much more for our Lord. As we think of the summer almost coming to a close, which is hard for all of us to believe, what a thrill it is to know that we still have opportunities to use our gifts for the Lord's honor and for His glory. So as you think this week about the coming day of Jesus Christ, about His return, as we think about home and look forward to being in heaven and not having the pain and the sorrow and the tears and the weeping, let's also say, God, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that I'm one of your jewels. But Lord, if you don't mind, I'd really like to shine a little bit more. God, I would like for you to get out that spiritual polishing cloth and just go ahead and give me a once over again. And as the psalmist said, God, if you would just search my life and find some things in me that maybe are not quite everything they ought to be. God, some areas in my life that I can better reflect you. Lord, maybe it's in my thought life. God, maybe it's in my personal life. God, maybe it's in my home life. Perhaps it's in my relationship to my coworkers. But God, would you mind just, I know it's going to be painful. I know it's going to hurt. But Lord, take that spiritual chisel through the power of the Holy Spirit and break off any rough abrasion on my life that would deter the reflective power of God at work in my heart and life. And if every one of us were to truly seek to be all that God wants us to be, what a thrill it would be for any lost soul to walk in the doors of this auditorium and to immediately have reflected upon them, just as the stone reflects light from a great distance, to have our Savior reflected from our hearts just through the way we're talking, just through the way we're singing and praising God, just through the way that we are seeking to serve the Lord here at Fairfax Baptist Temple. No, what we have here at this church is not, it is not typical today. It's not what you find anywhere you go. We are blessed beyond measure here at Fairfax Baptist Temple. But let's all of us say, God, we'd like to do even more. Lord, we'd like to serve you not less. We don't want to try and shirk off any responsibilities. Lord, we want to shore up our service to you. God, we want to take that brilliance and truly go back into your hands and cause the Holy Spirit to make us those precious jewels as we look forward to standing someday before our Savior, praying that we will truly hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you do watch over us. God, I thank you that as we serve you with the proper motives, Lord, that we are pleasing unto you. God, I thank you that you have chosen us, Lord, not based on who we are, not based on anything that we have done, but simply as a direct reflection of your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who has washed our hearts with his blood and caused us, Lord, to be able now to enter into your presence. But God, as we think of jewels tonight, perhaps there's some of us here that have gotten a little dusty. Lord, maybe some of the contamination of the world has stuck to us a little bit. And Father, like the stone that simply needs to be immersed again in some cleansing liquid. Lord, I pray that we would seek to go back under the microscope of the Holy Spirit. And Father, that He would chisel off of us anything that is not pleasing. God, as the psalmist said, Lord, I pray that You'd search our hearts. And Father, that we would be forthright before You. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit works, that we would praise God for the privilege that we have of reflecting yet even more the brilliance of the greatness of our God to this lost and dying world. What a privilege it is, God, to know that You are watching over us. May we be found serving You with all of our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.